Your speaker is Winfred Claiborne of Fayetteville, Tennessee.
Thank you very much. In some ways, prominent religious writers and teachers are like popular entertainers. Entertainers like to make a name for themselves so that they can make a great amount of money. In some cases, they will do whatever it takes, including compromising their religious and moral beliefs, in order to make it high on the charts. Theologians are not trying to make the charts, but they like to be called on for seminars, lectureships, and television appearances. They also want to be remembered as someone who made lasting contributions to the world of biblical scholarship. They sometimes advance some of the most outlandish theories you can imagine. One theologian at Union Theological Seminary in Virginia made a temporary splash in the world of biblical scholarship by contending that Jesus was a married man. No scholar I know believes his theory, but he enjoyed the limelight for a brief time. The reason I mentioned the temptation of scholars, and not just in theology, to promote some groundless and preposterous theory is that some writers have applied their skills to the book of 1 Peter. The epistle has excellent Greek in it. How does one explain the good Greek in view of the fact that Peter was a fisherman? Some commentators ascribe the beautiful Greek to Silas, one of Peter's companions. Will you please listen to the Apostle Peter? "But Silas, a faithful brother unto you, as I suppose, I have written to you briefly, and testifying that this is the true grace of God wherein you stand." 1 Peter 5:12. There is not one hint in this verse or elsewhere that Silas knew any more about the Greek language than Peter did. He may have, but that is pure supposition. Besides, was not Peter inspired by God's Holy Spirit? Do you suppose the Holy Spirit had a good grasp of the Greek language? Peter called Silas a faithful brother unto you. We have no way of knowing what Silas had done to cause Peter to make that complimentary remark. But whatever Silas had been called upon to do, he had done it as capably as he was able. It would be hard to find a more complimentary remark to make about anyone. Incidentally, this is the same Silas Paul chose to accompany him on his second missionary tour, Acts 15:40. He was with Paul when the gospel was first preached on European soil, Acts 16:19. Silas apparently had close personal ties both with Paul and with Peter. What does Peter mean when he says, "By Silas I have written unto you briefly"? Does Peter suggest that Silas was the co-author of the letter? Or could he mean that he had dictated the letter to Silas? Many reputable scholars believe Paul used secretaries to record the letters he wrote, at least some of the letters. It is altogether possible that Peter did the same. We do not know because the Bible does not give us enough information to make a definite determination. Nor, may I add, is it all that vital. We know Peter's letter is inspired and provides us with much needed information. Peter's letters have many purposes. One of those is explained in these words, "I have written unto you testifying that this is the true grace of God." The literal rendering of the Greek is as follows, "I have written unto you beseeching and testifying that this is the true grace of God." These early Christians had been wonderfully blessed by being freed from the bondage of sin and made members of the body of Christ. They had received so many great and precious promises. They could know that they were recipients of the true grace of God. And Peter added concerning that grace, "It is the true grace of God wherein you stand." Let me close with a question. Could they have received that grace in vain? Thank you for listening, and may God bless you.